hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Have the tape, Adam. Go ahead. We do not have the tape. I'm being told.
Yes.
So in essence, basically, which is disappointing. Backup producer, what are you going to do? I just want to take a moment here. Like, I was just making a joke to make a joke about Adam, who works very hard here at the show. I apologize. Like, he does a bunch of different stuff for us here at NBC Sports and specifically Happy Hour and pregame. He's not the backup producer. That's Pete.
Oh, man. There it is.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, produced by Pete today, by the way. Apparently,
oh, yeah.
He's the third string, the Zach Wilson producer, is what some are saying. Not me.
The former Trevor Siemian, now new yes. Zach Wilson producer as well. It's Thanksgiving week. And so you're giving all, you know, like
vacations coming
right,
to play.
Yeah, Steven, you know, our big producer. He's our first string.
He's one of
exactly.
The big people. I thought right. Steven was a little person.
He is a little person, but among
the
producers,
of the little people.
Yes,
right.
Yes, the biggest of the little people.
That's right. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Yes, yeah, that's sure. It landed eventually.
I don't know. Listen, price. I mean, you can imagine what it's like to try to produce me. I can barely speak English.
As Methuselah in the land of the blind?
Probably.
She reigned free.
Probably. Anyway, backup Pete, or as we like to call him around here, P-Bag, is behind the controls tonight. So welcome to a P-Bag-produced episode of Fantasy Football Happy
Hour. He's also on the controls today. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry, Jake Croucher. We got Monday Night Football takeaways from Eagles, Chiefs, Back to the Futures coming your way. Before we get there, though, it is waiver wire day as always, but we'll kick off with the Roto-World player news. And for all of your Roto-World player news, go to NBCSports.com. And what a big one to start the show. The Steelers fire offensive coordinator Matt Canada. Running back coach Eddie Faulkner will be the interim OC. And let's kind of go back to Mike Tomlin after the Steelers lost this weekend, where he had some interesting comments on Jaylen Warren.
Ooh.
Wait for it.
A lot of people, why is Pete the backup? It's hard to see why Pete's the backup. No, the tape is going to roll. Now it's going to roll. Here we go.
I don't. You know, when you're unsuccessful, you can look back and make a lot of those type judgments, man. We don't live like that. We don't live in our fears. We don't second guess, man. We live. And so I stand by whatever decisions or play selections or ball distributions we had today.
So the question on that was from the reporter. Yes. Do you think you should have gotten Jaylen Warren more than 9 carries? And clearly Mike Tomlin right after the game, he hasn't watched the film. He hasn't gone back and seen anything. He's sticking by his staff until maybe he did go back and watch the film.
And then he fired his staff.
And then, oh, my God, what have we done here?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's so great about it. Yeah. So, okay, here we go. Here's a statement from head coach Mike Tomlin. Matt Canada has been relieved of his duties as offensive coordinator. I appreciate Matt's hard work and dedication, and I wish him the best moving forward in his career. It sure sounds like it. Definitely.
Jeremy's suggesting a new line of work for Matt Canada.
Yeah.
Throw his hand in insurance.
To be fair, Mike Tomlin stood by him for maybe a year too long. Maybe I'm being kind.
Honestly, I think way, yeah, exactly. Way, way too long.
Fantasy wise, I think it's only good just because it's different. Happening in current Steelers land was a complete disaster. I guess the Cleveland game was the last straw there, where they just could get absolutely nothing going. Kenny Pickett has gone backwards as a player in his second year. And so I think, like, there is talent on this offense. Pickett showed signs at the end of last season. He was leading game-winning drives in primetime back-to-back weeks. He looked like he was going to take a leap this year with the way Jalen Warren is playing. Deontay Johnson and George Pickens are very solid receivers. Pat Freiermuth, the offensive line, is playing better. There is talent here, and so now we'll find out if it was this game.
They've just massively underperformed, and so it's one of those things that's like, I think you can, you know, much like what NBC sees when they see a performance from us under Pete, you know, it's a little bit of like, well, you've got talent there, do something with it, for the love of God. maybe that's Pete's new nickname, is Matt Canada.
Is that too mean?
That's too far.
Is that a bridge too far?
Yeah, he was going to stick with P-Bag.
He's in my ear.
So who's Kenny Pickett then?
I think it's probably me.
I'll be Deontay Johnson.
It's probably me. It's fine. You can be Deontay Johnson. I'm probably Kenny Pickett.
Broderick Jones. I don't want anything to do with
T.J. Watt. Exactly.
I'll take that one. Yeah.
No, in all seriousness, you know, and we love Pete. He does a great job. He's a good sport. what I was going to say here is, though, yes, there is legit talent on this team. And we actually thought, and by we, I'll say me, I thought Kenny Pickett was going to have a really nice year. He was a sleeper I had on my others receiving votes in love-hate preseason as well. I thought they looked really nice in the preseason. We did like Jalen Warren a lot as a sleeper. We did like George Pickens to emerge in year two, and it just hasn't happened. Only one team in the NFL has fewer passing yards per game this year than the Pittsburgh Steelers, which when you think about the talent, again, in the passing game, specifically on this team, I guess jury is still out on Kenny Pickett, but ultimately that's part of an offense coordinator's job, is to develop a guy that was a consensus first-round pick coming out of Pitt.
Right, and I'm sure a guy that fought to draft Kenny Pickett. You don't have your offensive coordinator in place and just take whatever quarterback you want. The offensive coordinator should be part of that process, so you can't just blame Pickett entirely here as much as he's struggled on his own. And when we've seen Trubisky play, he's struggled on his own as well. And, I mean, the bottom line is, when you're a bottom five scoring and total offense since you're hired, which is 2 years ago,
right,
you are not going to be able to retain your job. And you're right, they have enough skill
talent.
Calling
for his head for a long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think, okay, spinning it forward in terms of what it means for fantasy, I believe the play caller is going to be the running backs coach.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. His name is Eddie Faulkner.
Right, so Eddie Faulkner. So I think this feels good for Jalen Warren. The one thing that's working on their offense right now is Jalen Warren. Much like Jay Croucher, Matt Canada stubbornly stuck by Najee Harris probably a little bit too long. Very similar to you and Matt Canada. You guys are basically twins.
On that randomly, so I built my fantasy team in Out the Show League around the Pittsburgh Steelers, which wasn't a great move. In the preseason, looked better. So I have Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, Deontay Johnson all on my team. My team's terrible, but my team somehow only has four losses like the Steelers. And not just that, every week the Steelers win, my team wins. Every week they lose, I lose. It's like we're just...
You're the Steelers.
Yeah, galactically intertwined. Yes, I am the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Did you hire anyone this week?
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just dropped. I fired Justice Hill. He's not doing anything for me.
Yeah. But I... Look, nowhere to go but up, because, again, we do believe there is talent in Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. They are getting Pat Freiermuth back. I think this is good news for Jalen Warren, who I think should continue to separate himself from Najee Harris. Like, you're the running backs coach, and the one thing that's working is, you know, one of your guys. Again, the clip we played was somebody saying, like, Jalen Warren got more production than all the other Steelers combined. Should you have gotten him more than 12 touches? And Tomlin basically... You can tell he was sort of fumfering. He's just like, I'm comfortable with whatever the coaches call, you know. And then, like...
You go back and look, and you're like, wow, we really blew this one.
He fired Matt Canada, and just... Schefter had a tweet here today, and this is per an ESPN stats researcher, you know, Paul Hembo. History today, and when the Steelers fired offensive coordinator Matt Canada today, this is Schefter's tweet, it marked the first time they've made an in-season coaching change since 1941, per Paul Hembo. The last time the Steelers fired a head coach coordinator mid-season was 1941, when the team's half-owner, Burt Bell, fired himself. Like, that's how legitimately, like, you don't lose your job in Pittsburgh. Like, that's how historically bad this team has been. So nowhere to go but up. Am I crazy? But I'm kind of buying low here on Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, maybe not Najee Harris, but Freiermuth is out there in some leagues. He's not 100% rostered, and you know, I guess I wouldn't be getting rid of Johnson and Pickens despite how bad they've been the last couple of weeks.
Yep, agreed. They've been outgained in all 10 games. The streak continues and they're 6-4 somehow.
Right, so, and wide open AFC. Yep. So,
by the way, and they play the Bengals this week. Over the last 4 weeks, there's only one team in the NFL that's given up more passing yards per game than the Cincinnati Bengals. So, you know, and that's a – now you've got Jake Browning right. that's going to have to face the Steelers defense. Maybe they get the ball in good field position. There's some turnovers there as well because the Steelers defense is playing better.
Yeah, and just last thing on this. That is the thing with the Steelers. Their next stretch of games at Cincinnati, home Arizona, home New England, at Indy, and then home Cincinnati. Like, that's as good as it gets.
They made the change at the right time. Yes. Like, it's a real nice stretch to, if you want to give this kid, you know, kid, if you want to give the offense and the coordinator a chance at success, there's a nice stretch coming up here as well. So
with that, let's jump
into
waiver. Finally,
you can blame Canada.
Yes. Well, we've been able to for quite some time, but now it's official. With that, we'll jump into waiver wire, starting with the running backs here. Yeah. And listen,
this one felt much more justified than than Ken Dorsey. Yeah, I'll just say that.
It's so, very fair.
Yeah,
it's good to get both ends of the spectrum in such a short period of time. Justified, really, unjustified.
Yes. Theme of this show, no teams on the bye this week, yes, but six on the bye in week 13. So plan ahead. Those teams are Baltimore, Buffalo, Chicago, the Giants, Vegas, and Minnesota. So at least a handful there of teams that have very fantasy-relevant players. And we start this week with Seahawks running back Zach Charbonnet, who's got the Thanksgiving game against the 49ers, most notably because the running back ahead of him and Kenneth Walker suffered an oblique injury this weekend, and we got to hear from Pete Carroll on Kenneth Walker's status.
They just confirmed that he's got an oblique strain, and those are the kind of strains that it takes some time to figure it out. So we got to see how he does in the next couple days and see what that means. We don't know yet.
Do you expect him to be able to play Thursday?
I don't know that.
And one last thing. On Ken, would he be an IR candidate with the oblique?
Not at this point. No.
Thanks.
We need to learn more.
So my takeaway from that is that Ken Walker is an IR candidate.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, not at this point. And by the way, here's their upcoming schedule. You mentioned the Niners on Thanksgiving, and then they're at Dallas. That's on Thursday Night Football, so they got, you know, they'll have a week to prepare for that. So not even the 10 days, because they're back to back Thursdays. Then they get 10 days to prepare for the Niners again. They play San Francisco twice in the next 3 weeks, and then they're home to Philadelphia. So I mean, and we'll get to the Kansas City game and the Philly game from last night soon. But like, despite what Isaiah Pacheco did last night, Eagles run defense is usually pretty good here. So it's a tough row to hoe for the Seattle running backs as a whole, but you'd feel better about it, the prospects at least of Zach Charbonnet, if Ken Walker were placed on IR or if he were going to miss some of these games. Because if Walker misses some times, and it certainly sounds like he's going to from Pete Carroll, who says, you know, this is going to take some time. You just heard that. Pete Carroll's like the most optimistic coach in the NFL when it comes to injuries. So the fact that he says it's going to take some time tells you it's going to take some time. And so Charbonnet should get the majority of the work. And even though they're tough matchups, he's a three down back again. This is a team that's averaging 25 running back touches a game. Charbonnet averaging over, has gotten at least five targets in back-to-back games as well. So he is somebody that can play all three downs, Connor.
He's a big-bodied power back that has soft hands and can block. And you see the snap percentage drastically go up in the last 4 weeks. They trust him. So that's a really key point here, where he's going to be thrusted into their RB1 role. And I think his value, especially against San Francisco, is not as a runner. It's notably, can he catch you 5 to 6 passes and do something with them? And ultimately, I think he can.
Yep. And yeah. The good thing as well with Sharp, even though the schedule is brutal, Seahawks are still an above-average offense. They got the 12th best offense in football this year by EPA per play. So just when you're a workhorse, three down back on an above-average offense, doesn't really matter who you play in terms of making you viable as a starter.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be, if not high-end flex-worthy or top, again, we'll see how the rankings shake out. I'm going to be doing those tonight. But the other thing I'll say here is, you know, you'd feel better about Charbonnet's prospects, not only if Walker were out, obviously, because there's no one else on the team that you really feel like that's somebody that's going to take significant work, but also if Geno Smith plays.
Yeah.
He got hurt as well, but the reports out of Seattle are much more optimistic around Geno playing on Thursday than they were around Ken Walker.
All right, and by the way, obviously, one more time to reiterate, Charbonnet available in 56% of leagues. So while it seems like he was stashed in most leagues, apparently
not enough.
He's out there, and not enough.
Not enough.
We'll move over to another running back.
He should be the number one pickup this week.
Yeah.
Across, not just running backs, but across position.
Another interesting one, Ty Chandler of the Vikings. Much better matchup here against the Bears, most notably because Ty Chandler factors into the pass game as well. And I mean, the bottom line is, Matthew, he's been so efficient with the work he's gotten since this backfield has dealt with injuries to Cam Akers. And Madison played, but we know Madison had the concussion as well.
Also, Madison may not be any good.
I think we answered that in week three.
He's been bad. He's averaging 3.7 yards per carry this season compared with 4.8 for Ty Chandler. Week 11, he had only 14 touches, but turned that into 110 total yards. He caught all four of his targets last week as well. So, again, somebody who's has the ability for both between the tackles and as a pass catcher as well. So Chandler's starting to get some of the work that Cam Akers was getting before his injury. And there's nothing from Alexander Mattison that you're like, well, he's just not going anywhere. At some point, similar to what we're seeing with Jalen Warren and Najee Harris, at some point you just, if you're a coach, you're just like, we got to go with a better guy. And obviously all bets are off now with Josh Dobbs under center in terms of like, hey, I feel like the Vikings feel like they're playing with found money. They're kind of playing with house money here. And so, like, okay, let's get weird. We don't need to be beholden to anything.
Yeah.
Let's switch it up.
The thing with Madison, too, he had the pivotal fumble against the Broncos, which wasn't great. I guess they just like him because he's a better pass blocker than Ty Chandler, and particularly with the amount of time that Josh Dobbs spends kind of hanging around in the pocket waiting to do Josh Dobbs things. But it does feel like a little bit of a corollary to the Steelers situation with Madison as Najee and Ty Chandler as Jalen Warren.
Yeah.
Our next one, Ezekiel Elliott, available in over 60% of leagues. He's got the Giants. That's why he makes the waiver wire candidate list here. He had a bye week in week 11, so hopefully fresh legs for Zeke here, Jay. And I would imagine a guy that against that Giants defense, you'd think he could fall into the end zone at some point.
Yeah, very matchup dependent, and we'll see what happens with the New England quarterback situation as well, which is apparently there's three guys in the mix, which is not usual. Usually there's two guys in the mix, but it looks like there's three in this situation. But the thing with Zeke is that he looks better physically than he has in years, I think. And so he is playing a bit more explosive and offering a little bit in the passing game too, but I think he's very matchup dependent.
But also, I think the fact that there is such a question mark around the quarterback, and whether it's Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe or Malik Cunningham, and I still think Will Greer figures into that mix as well. He's there in New England, and they actually like him. Maybe the solution to that quarterback conundrum is that they just never let them pass, and it's just who's going to get to hand off to Ramondre Stevenson and Ezekiel Elliott, and they just go massively run heavy there. He had 15 touches in Week 10 prior to the bye. He had 88 yards from scrimmage. He had four red zone touches, two inside the 10-yard line in that game, and as you mentioned, Jay, it's a great matchup against the Giants, who have allowed seven rushing touchdowns in just their past three games. So pretty good chance for Zeke to fall. I don't know what the odds are yet on him, anytime touchdown, but I'd take that bet.
What a game, by the way. Patriots-Giants, real blockbuster. Not like the Super Bowls, those two teams.
It kind of is, though. It's the Caleb Williams Bowl.
I was going to say.
It's kind of the Drake May Bowl. Yeah.
Colossal draft implications in this matchup.
Okay.
Colossal.
Yeah.
Which is a sick way to watch football in November, but
this is the world we live in.
Yes, this is the world we live in.
Yeah.
So one fan base will go away very disappointed they won the game.
Yes.
So
that's actually correct.
All right, there's a good chance that these three guys we went over are not available in your league. So how about some deeper league running back targets? Roschon Johnson has got the Vikings 80% available. Royce Freeman has got the Cardinals 83% available. And we'll go back to that one in a second because Sean McVay expects Kyren Williams to return on Sunday. Chiefs running back Jerick McKinnon, 71% available. Rico Dattle on the Cowboys, 84% available against your Commanders. Jaguars running back D'Ernest Johnson at Houston. He's available in every single league.
Yeah, real quickly, it feels like D'Ernest Johnson has overtaken Tank Bigsby for the backup to Travis Etienne there as well. We've talked about Dattle as insurance for Tony Pollard. We'll talk about McKinnon more when we get into the Chiefs-Eagles game coming up later, but I do think there's the potential for usage down the stretch for McKinnon. And then, of course, Royce Freeman. Again, we expect Kyren Williams back, but how much work is he going to get in his first game back? But Freeman over Henderson after Kyren Williams. So Freeman might get some run even with Kyren Williams back.
Jay, anybody on that list that you like that at least...
And by the way, they play Arizona this week. Again, that is a run funnel defense.
Does Roschon Johnson enter stash territory again? That backfield's been confusing all year.
It has been weird, and Khalil Herbert missing time and then coming back makes it more complicated, but I think it will happen for Roshan at some point because, I mean, they're not in playoff contention. Why not see what you've got? He hasn't had more than 8 carries in a game this season. Like, give him double-digit carries, see what happens. McKinnon is interesting as well just because, like, we haven't seen anything from him yet, but we saw something from him in the second half of last season. So I think there is some upside there just because it feels like the Chiefs just have to do something for their offense that's different. And getting McKinnon involved would be more different and seemed to work last season. So that's another one. But I think Roshan of this group is the one with the most upside.
To recap, Barry's Week 12 top running back waiver targets, Zach Charbonnet, 56% available. One of the top waiver names throughout the entire week, Ty Chandler, Ezekiel Elliott, Roshan Johnson, and Royce Freeman. All right, let's jump into the waiver wire wide receivers. And it's time for a little Who's Eating Good right now. We'll hit our wide receiver waiver wire ads with Who's Eating Good, served by Applebee's. And we'll start with Josh Downs right now. And Josh Downs, he's available in 50% of leagues. He's coming off the bye week. You know, interesting matchup against Tampa Bay, who did not look good against the 49ers for sure. And we know that Downs has been a staple of this offense since Gardner Minshew took over.
Look, the last 2 weeks he's been banged up. He's left games early. He's come into it injured as well. But prior to the last 2 weeks when he was dealing with a knee injury, right, the 4 games before that, weeks 5 through 8, he averaged over 16 fantasy points per game. He had a 21% target share. He was the 13th best wide receiver in fantasy over that 4-week stretch, weeks 5 through 8. And so now you get a Buccaneers defense that's allowing the 4th most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. Down seems to have a connection with Minshew out of the bye, should be fully healthy. If he was dropped in your league because of the bye or because of the lack of production, absolutely 100% go get him. Well, I like him a lot. And I like him a lot against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, particularly in this matchup. Tampa Bay are as pass funnel as it gets. Think about what they've done lately. You give up to San Francisco the first perfect passer rating to a 49er since Joe Montana in 1989. Week before that, C.J. Stroud throws for almost 500 yards. So I think that certainly it's a very positive matchup. And also, his performance, like, it's the injury, like you mentioned, and also just very conservative game script in the Patriots game, too.
Our next one, Jay, DeMario Douglas in that Patriots offense. The good news is week 10 before the bye, it looks like he's going to be the guy now. They've dealt with injuries in this wide receiver corps. It's a young player they've been excited about, and you love the matchup against the Giants. The bad news is we have no idea who's throwing him the ball.
No. And look, the thing is that he
is... Or if anyone is throwing him the ball.
Yes.
Better question. Can anyone throw him the ball?
Yeah. Look, he's had 7 targets and...
Zach Wilson to the Patriots. Who says no?
For what? For nothing?
Everybody watching football.
Yeah. For a Patriots hoodie.
Yeah. It's not a bad trade from a value perspective. Look, he's had 7 or more targets in the past 3 games. DeMario Douglas, he is the guy. He's a wide receiver 1 on an NFL offense, which makes him flex viable most weeks. And a favorable matchup against the Giants as well. But you certainly have to worry about his ceiling with that quarterback situation, Matthew.
23% target share over the last 4 weeks. Kendrick Bourne is out for the year as well. Juju Smith-Schuster is candidly a shell of his former self. And you mentioned this matchup against the Giants. Over the last 4 weeks, only one team in the NFL has allowed more fantasy points to opposing wide receivers than the New York Football Giants. I know we've talked about him a lot over the last couple of weeks. They love DeMario Douglas in New England. In a season where a lot has not gone right for the offense, DeMario Douglas has been a bright spot.
He can't play too good, though, or else he's not going to be catching passes from Drake May next year.
No, I know.
So he needs to think about this.
Look, Belichick plays chess when we all play checkers.
Mm. Does he?
But,
I think he's a checkers guy now.
Maybe in 2008.
Well, but he may not want to be. He might be, you know what? He might be like, I'm going to win this game because I'm not going to be in New England next year, and I don't want them. I don't want somebody. I don't want, you know, Mike Vrabel coming in here.
Yeah, Lovie Smith
me.
Operation.
Yeah, with Caleb Williams. He may want to, like, just stick it to the New England and make sure they're out of those sweepstakes.
We'll find out. If he doesn't, he's going to be a bingo guy after the season. So, all right. With that, we'll move over to.
Who's the offense coordinator of the Vikings that, like, I'm blanking on the name, but there was a guy that was an offense coordinator for a coach in this league for a long time, and then he was retired. And then, like, the Vikings, when Brad Childress, I think, was the coach, like, they brought this guy back because they were like, everything was so wrong with the offense, and he was literally calling bingo. That's what he had been doing with his time. He was a retired guy, but, like...
John DeFilippo?
No, it wasn't. Pete, you know what I'm talking about.
It's got to be somebody very old.
No, this is... I'm going to look this up during the break. Pete, do you know the name? What's the name? He's going to find it. But I'm telling you, it's a great story. Literally, the guy was, I remember watching the game and they cut up to him, this guy, you know, offensive coordinator or something like that, or a special assistant. I forget what they actually called him, but they shot up to him in the booth and he's got the headset on and he's got the, you know, he's got the play sheet and he's, you know, making notes. And he's got the, you know, they got the glasses and the whole thing. And they literally like, yeah, a week ago this guy was calling bingo. And now he's calling NFL plays.
Sherman Lewis?
Yeah.
Sherman Lewis. Sherman Lewis. That's right.
Yeah. Your Washington team. Jim's. But yeah, it was Washington.
It was for Washington.
Yeah, under Jim Zorn. Yes.
That's right. That's why it makes sense.
That's why, because Minnesota Vikings.
Well, he used to coach for the Vikings. That's what
it was. And then he came bad of retirement.
Yes, and then Jim Zorn, because it was such a disaster. Jim Zorn, this is a true story. Jim Zorn, they wanted to be the Washington, this is how bad it was under Snyder. They wanted Jim Zorn to be the offensive coordinator. But then they couldn't find anyone to be head coach under Snyder. Or Bruce Allen. Like, literally, no one wanted that job. So they just promoted Jim Zorn from coordinator to head coach. And then to make it even worse is, like, they won, like, the first eight games of the season. They were, like, 6-2. They were, like they just got all these kind of lucky, crazy wins, and all of a sudden, and then it all fell apart and they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Luckily,
but they literally were 6-2 through the first eight games.
Luckily, it all came good for the Commanders.
Yeah, it all turned around after
that. Took Emmanuel Forbes in the first round.
Yes, Emmanuel Forbes.
Our next name here.
Yeah, we solved our coaching woes by letting Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur all walk away. Mike McDaniel. Yeah. All walk away.
All-star.
Yeah, good time. Good time.
Assemble. All right. Wide receiver Odell Beckham. We know he, you know, got the shoulder injury last week, but still, over 100 yards receiving. Four catches on 7 targets. Jay, I mean, you nailed it when you said he just looked like himself. Finally, we've been waiting years for this.
Yeah. Just looks so explosive, just playing with a swagger and a quickness. This is vintage Odell. And
watch
also,
this.
Wasn't just the 1 week as well. The touchdown that he scored against Cleveland the week prior, again, vintage Odell. Just worry a little bit about the shoulder injury, which is not well-timed. But if he is healthy and good to go, I mean, he is now, he's the number one receiving option, I think, for the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson. He's the best weapon in that offense.
With Mark Andrews out, it's him and Zay Flowers and Beckham getting on the same page with this offense, on the same page with Lamar Jackson. Beckham, who was recruited to Baltimore by Lamar. We all saw the video of those guys FaceTiming and talking. And you know, Beckham, who signed with Baltimore before Lamar signed his extension. So you knew that like, there's a connection there, and you see it right there on your screen in terms of the game log. At least 7 targets in 3 of the last 5 games, at least 40 yards in 4 of the final 5 games. He's really coming to his own. 3 straight games with double-digit fantasy points. He's out there in 70% of leagues. They play the Chargers this week right here on Peacock at NBC, part of Sunday Night Football. The Chargers having their own defensive issues.
Yes.
Right. Hey, Matt Canada to the Chargers, who says no?
Everyone says
no. Yeah. I don't
America,
know.
America says no. Canada says no as well. The country, not the man.
Mexico has no vote. I was just saying that, like, you know, Staley's press conference, man. All
something.
Right, so I'm just, you know, anyway.
We'll go there eventually.
Yeah.
There's definitely a time and
anyway.
Place. Our final
anyway,
wide receiver.
That'll be our Sunday night game. Ravens-Chargers.
Yeah, welcome in Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Brandon Staley.
Yes, Brandon Staley.
Our final wide receiver here for Who's Eating Good, Jaden Reed. He's got the Lions. He's available in 64% of leagues. Of course, Packers-Lions Thanksgiving game, then the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, followed by the Giants and the Bucks. So not the worst schedule here for Jaden Reed, who is not only coming off a receiving week of 4 catches, 46 yards, but a rushing week with a rushing touchdown here, Matthew.
They're starting to use him. Like, this is a rookie, and Jaden Reed, I feel like, could be one of those sneaky rookie wide receivers we talk about who, over the second half of the year, once they get familiar with the offense and the quarterback, kind of help you down the stretch. Very quietly, his snap rate has increased each of the last 3 weeks. He's had double-digit fantasy points for the past 5 games. There's a reason why this is somebody we talked about last week. He was on the love list last week as well. Paid off in a big way. And you think about this matchup with Detroit. Lions allowed, over the last 4 weeks, Lions allowed the second highest catch rate to the slot, which is where Reed obviously lines up the majority of the time. Feels like Jordan Love is comfortable throwing between the hashes and getting the ball to Reed. Watson can't stay on the field. He's been very inconsistent. Romeo Doubs has had moments, but feels like Jaden Reed on a team that might be without Aaron Jones. We're waiting to hear news about Aaron Jones. And, you know, if they can't run the ball without Aaron Jones, and they lost Emmanuel Wilson too, right?
In that game? Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, like, it's A.J. Dillon, and, like, that's it. And they'll bring up Patrick Taylor from the practice squad, I'm sure, if Jones can't go or whatever. They'll sign a vet. But still, like, feels like this may have to be more of a pass-heavy offense than they want it to be. And Reed's going to be a big part of that.
Well, Reed gives you an extension in the pass game because of all the short area stuff you can do with him, too.
I think the key for Reed is just that Jordan Love looks good for the first time all season. Yeah. The past 3 weeks, it seems like he's really turned the corner. Now, a lot of that is playing the defense of the Rams and the Chargers in particular, neither of whom have very good defenses. But still, Love is making the throws. Reed is taking on a larger role, and that's been such a strange offense all season. It feels like they're molding into form, and Reed's a big part of that.
And here's the next four. Obviously, they play at the Lions on Thanksgiving. But then they're home to Kansas City. Don't love that matchup. But then they're at the Giants and home to Tampa Bay. So three of the next four very favorable matchups for Jordan Love, Jaden Reed, and the Packers offense.
That was Who's Eating Good, served by Applebee's. Let's take a look at some deep league wide receiver targets as well. Zay Jones, 82% available. He's got that Houston secondary, followed by Jameson Williams, who had the big catch last week. He's got the Packers on Thanksgiving, 80% available. Tutu Atwell against the Cardinals. He's available in 74% of leagues. Puka Nacua dealing with the shoulder. Cooper Kupp dealing with the ankle. Both are day-to-day. Could be a bump up for Tutu. And finally, Saints wide receivers Rashid Shaheed, available in only 55% of leagues, and A.T. Perry available in 99%, as Michael Thomas is expected to miss some time with a knee injury.
Zay Jones in his first game back played 63% of the snaps. He's gotten multiple red zone targets in three of the four games he's played so far this season as well. 68% of the snaps for Jameson Williams as that Lions offense continues to emerge. We know about the talent, so hopefully Williams, whose snaps have increased each of the last 3 weeks, continue to earn more and more of a role in that Lions offense. If Kupp is out, Atwell would be the beneficiary. And then despite Jay's beloved preseason support, Michael Thomas has, in fact, succumbed to injury.
Tough week for Michael Thomas.
Yeah. It has been there's a lot
happening.
Between the construction outside his house, between the injury, it's not great for Michael Thomas. But Rashid Shaheed would benefit.
I mean, it's a tough week for Michael Thomas. It's a tough week for analysts who backed Michael Thomas in the preseason.
But then Connor, kind of 20% walked it back, though. 20% walked
it
back.
Yeah, but then you were
For him doing well a couple
of weeks. I did start to get credit.
Yeah, so exactly. I don't know how this works.
You have attached your previously good name to Michael Thomas.
Yeah, people
are
tweeting at you.
But the important part here is that when he went out with the injury, it was kind of split between Rashid Shaheed and A.T. Perry. And so I think Shaheed has the bigger play potential, and maybe over the bye they've increased his snaps more. Again, he plays special teams. I know they don't want to, like, give him a full full-time role, so that's why Perry's in there for deeper league ads. But between the two, I prefer Shaheed to Perry.
Let's recap Barry's Week 12 top wide receiver waiver targets. Josh Downs comes in at the top there. We've already seen what he could do when healthy this year. DeMario Douglas at number two. Odell Beckham at three. We'll keep an eye on his injury status. Jaden Reed taking on an expanded role for the Packers offense as well here. So plenty of viable flex plays on the waiver wire for wide receivers.
And just quick, lastly, on Odell, John Harbaugh says it's not expected to be a long-term thing, which I don't really know what that means. Does that mean he's going to play this week?
Yeah. That's what I said to my wife on our first date, by the way. This is not expected to be a long-term play.
Wow. Bad take.
Bad take. Bad take.
It's like me on Najee.
Yeah, exactly. Just I don't know.
You should throw that one in your face every day.
16 years later, you know, here we are. But, like, what do you know?
Still not with Najee Harris in 16 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't. Maybe he'll be on this desk with you. But
maybe he's good on TV, Najee.
Yeah.
Entertaining guy.
Absolutely.
All right.
I'll be done in 16 years easily. So I might be done in 16 weeks. We'll see. All right. What do you
quarterbacks? I'm going to do quarterbacks. Unfortunately,
I was up late watching the Chiefs game, being pissed about my Chiefs -2.5 bets. I'll go into the toilet. Anyway, go ahead.
Listen, waiver wire quarterbacks, I have to start with this. They made me. I did not infuse this into the show. The Jets will start quarterback Tim Boyle against Miami Friday. Yeah, sure. Yep. Reluctant clap.
I just want to level set this very quickly. So first off, our guy Connor Rogers, right? This poor bastard here on Saturday, here's what he's going to have to do this weekend. He's going to have to talk about Tim Boyle for, like, how long's the pregame show on SNY? Is it an hour?
Last week was 75 minutes.
So he's going to have to talk for, close to 2 hours about Tim Boyle, pregame, and then after the game. It's 90 minutes, and you're doing it on Friday, right?
Yeah,
it's a Black Friday game.
A little peek behind the curtain. Black Friday is actually usually one of my favorite days of the year because it's one of the only days of the year during football season. There's nothing to do except watch college football, and you might be a little hungover from Thanksgiving. Not me, but some people.
Right.
I'll be in a suit you know, deeply analyzing Tim Boyle offense. Yeah, you know, we'll brutal. Probably do some touchscreen breakdowns.
You know what I am? I'm thankful I'm not Connor Rogers. How about that? That's my Thanksgiving wish. So, and then also, Jay, for everyone that, like, for all of your Jets fans that are like, bring back Tim Boyle. He couldn't be any worse. Why?
So the line was, it opens on Sunday night as Miami -7.5. Tim Boyle gets announced as the starter. The line moves to -10. You imagine being 2.5 points worse than Zach Wilson?
That's
where Tim Boyle is at the moment, at home. He's thrown, in his career, he's thrown 3 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 5.1 yards per attempt. I'm not kidding. I don't mean to be mean to guy, but this might be the worst quarterback in NFL history. Like, that's in play. And now he gets Jalen Ramsey, Jalen Phillips, all these guys in the Miami improving defense. This is going to be very, very ugly on Friday.
Yeah, careful what you wish for, Jets fans. I don't think they understand what they're in for here. The only person that's really excited about this is Nathan Peterman, who's going to be like, see? Look, hey,
it's probably not me.
It could be. Before you guys, look, there's somebody out there that's worse.
Yeah, so I don't think Boyle is an option for any fantasy purposes, but I do think, and you've spoken about this, Connor, that, like, if you're in a super flex league, like, maybe just pick up Trevor Siemian.
Right.
Because I think that there's a good chance he's going to be the quarterback at some point.
Yeah, he's the best quarterback in that room of three. And that's not a joke. I mean, legitimately, he has the best track record.
It's not funny. It's terrifying.
Of the three. It's not funny at all. Nobody's laughing.
No.
Not us.
But
not
but Trevor Siemian has had moments of success in the NFL, whether it was at Denver or why am I blanking on the other place he
Chicago?
Played?
Chicago?
No.
Did you say the Saints? Sorry.
No, Saints. That's what I meant. Denver. He played Denver and the Saints, the two places
and
where
the Bears against the Jets last year where he was, like, somewhat capable.
He's a little Mike White-ish. He might be able to Mike White it up a little bit.
Listen, we just need somebody to throw the ball to Garrett Wilson. We're not asking for a lot.
I wonder if there is one positive, and we'll get into all this tomorrow when we talk about sort of all the Thanksgiving games and preview Week 12. I do think Tim Boyle actually should be good for Breece Hall. Just, again, because you mentioned the 5 yards per attempt. Like, he's nothing but a dump-off machine.
Right.
So I do feel like Breece Hall might get, in a game in which they should be trailing by a decent amount against the Dolphins.
Just check down to Breece Hall.
Just check down to Breece Hall, like, every play.
A couple other quarterback notes that are just as uninspiring. The Falcons will start quarterback Desmond Ridder against the Saints. Arthur Smith said, "We think he gives us the best chance." Bill Belichick on the starting quarterback situation against the Giants. "I've told all the players the same thing. Be ready to go." It's a very college strategy. How about some real NFL quarterbacks for waiver wire targets? We'll start with Baker Mayfield against the Colts. He's available in 53% of leagues.
I'm banning myself from Arthur Smith talk for a week. That's my
Thanksgiving
gift to you.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, we'll be back for the holidays.
But,
though.
Again, so, but, you know, if you lost Joe Burrow, you might be looking for a quarterback here. And so, or you may not like the matchup of the guy that you currently have. Baker Mayfield, again, we're waiting on the Saints guys. So Baker Mayfield plays the Colts since Week 7. Very quietly, Baker Mayfield has been the 11th best quarterback in fantasy. He's had multiple touchdown passes in 3 of the past 4. And the Colts, over the last month, they're a bottom 8 defense in terms of yards per pass attempt allowed. I like Baker Mayfield this week at Indy if you need a guy. Jay, you mentioned Jordan Love's been playing better as well.
Jordan Love on the season is QB12 in fantasy, and he's really rolling into form. Now he gets the Lions' defense, just frankly isn't very good. And the Lions' defensive stats, they're all skewed because of what Jimmy Garoppolo didn't connect with Devonta Adams on in that primetime game. So I don't think it's a very good defense. Teams have been able to move the ball at will against Detroit, and with the way that Love is playing, I think he's very, very viable as an option.
Again, Aaron Jones less than 100%. 40 pass attempts in 3 of the past 4 games. At least 40 pass attempts for Jordan Love in 3 of the past 4. He's a little bit more mobile than he gets credit for as well. Next guy on the list there, Matthew Stafford. We're waiting to hear about the health of Cooper Kupp. Puka Nacua also a little bit banged up. But they play the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And since Week 6, Arizona allows touchdown passes at the 5th highest rate, even in a game in which C.J. Stroud threw 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
He still threw for over 300 yards.
Yeah, like 280 yards at half.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
He's going to keep chucking.
Keep chucking. So I think Stafford should have a nice game against the Cardinals this week.
Let's move to the tight ends, where one player absolutely tops this list in terms of intrigue, and that's Ravens tight end Isaiah Likely against the Chargers. He will be a hot waiver bid this week, available in 96% of leagues because of the Mark Andrews injury. Matthew, becomes wildly intriguing on the tight end market because we've seen this story before for Isaiah Likely in this offense.
Last season, when Mark Andrews was either out of the game or left the game early due to injury, Isaiah Likely averaged 15.8 fantasy points per game. He had a 25% target share. Now, that's skewed a little bit by one big game, but the fact of the matter is that He takes over for Andrews. They like him a lot. They're not going to change their offense. He's somebody that has been there and has shown success in this Ravens offense. And over the last 4 weeks, only four teams in the NFL allow more fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends than the Los Angeles Chargers. Then yep. Brandon Staley's fighting Los Angeles Chargers.
Indeed. And of these other four guys, I think the guy who's most intriguing is Luke Musgrave. Yep. Gets the favorable matchup against Detroit. Just starting to happen a little bit for Luke Musgrave. Six targets on the weekend, and then prior to that he had 64 yards, 51 yards and a touchdown. Looks like he is rounding into form as a viable option.
He was somebody that I talked about in the much like I said with Tank Dell, I said at some point this season, Luke Musgrave is going to be a thing, and it feels like that time is coming. It's taken a little longer than I thought, but if you watch those games, you see the size-speed combination. You see what a mismatch he is, and it feels like him and Jordan Love have just missed on some big plays in a number of games, and that's connection's going to happen.
And he dealt with a lot of injuries this year. Yeah. He's healthy now, and as Jordan Love gets better, you would expect more touchdown opportunity for Musgrave, who's 6'6 and runs like the wind. He should be an option in the end zone.
Just a couple of other quick tight end names. If you need him, Cade Otton led the team in receiving yards in Week 11. Michael Mayer, part of that Raiders resurgence as well. He's now had five targets in back-to-back games. And Tanner Hudson, part of this new-look Bengals offense. Look, he's had at least 45 receiving yards in two of the past three.
How about some defenses if you need to stream one this week? The Broncos got the Browns. They're available in 67% of leagues. The Patriots have the Tommy DeVito Giants. They're available in 74% of leagues. And then right back at them, the Giants against the Patriots. Who the hell knows who's going to play quarterback for New England? They all have to be ready to go. Giants defense is available in 96% of leagues. Of course, if you want to pick up one of these players, you got to drop somebody. How about some droppable players rostered in over 50% of leagues? Joe Burrow, hate to see it, but you got to let go. Geno Smith, he's banged up right now. Although, if the quarterback market is thin in your league, that's one you might want to think a little bit about. Chuba Hubbard, Daryl Henderson. Jacoby Myers, his production has fallen off a cliff since Aiden O'Connell has taken over. Tyler Boyd, Michael Thomas is banged up with the knee. And Darren Waller, who's been dealing with that hamstring.
Yeah, last week, we didn't talk about it a lot yesterday, but Miles Sanders kind of overtook half the role from Chuba Hubbard. It had been Hubbard for the last couple of weeks, but then it was really a 50-50 split this past week. So now Chuba Hubbard, along with Miles Sanders, they're splitting the backfield role on a bad, low-scoring offense. So in a week in which no one's on a bye, thank you very much. We can do that. By the way, mentioning that Patriots-Giants game, how we like both defenses in that game.
Yeah.
The over-under opened at 34 in that game. Which I don't remember a game ever opening with an over-under of 34 opening there. And I think I'd still take the under.
The other under this week is the Jets team total is 14.5. I don't know how they get into 15 points.
I think it's fair. It would have to be a lot of garbage. They'd have to be down 35-7.
I'll tell you exactly how they do it. Five Greg Zuerlein field goals. Yeah. That's how they get there.
Well,
that's how they get there.
Because he's getting in range five times. Going to kick it 80 yards? Because he's going to have to.
He's close. 60?
Yeah. He's at 60. Yeah. You need a good kickoff return. You need a penalty or two, get bailed out.
Yeah, two is throwing picks lately, maybe. But I don't think they get into 15 points.
We'll see. Interesting.
It's a Thanksgiving tradition.
Trevor Siemian coming at halftime.
True.
And that's the fear.
Offense. There you go.
That's the unpredictable nature. It's a Thanksgiving tradition. The National Dog Show on NBC. Check out our four-legged friends this Thursday at noon local time, right after the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And find out who wins.
Look how cute they are.
This year's Best in Show.
They're playing with a football,
This is can't miss. Yeah, absolutely.
Or a football show. The dogs
football
are playing
show. You watch dogs play with football before the actual football. We'll take our first break when we're back. Speaking of actual football, we have fantasy takeaways from Eagles Chiefs Monday Night Football.
Wasn't there a movie where a dog played football? Was that Air Bud?
That wasn't Eddie?
Eddie again?
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? X-Go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could. Would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Second down and 10. Four-man rush, shotgun snap, back to pass, Mahomes 7. Winds up, long pass, down the middle, he's got him! Over the shoulder, drop! A drop at the 2 by Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Off his gloves, incomplete. Third and 10, stunned silence at Arrowhead. Wow!
Yes, Patrick Mahomes drinks free. Because nobody can catch.
He's got no pass catchers at all. Like, the only person that thought Marquez Valdes-Scantling was coming down with that ball apparently is Patrick Mahomes. Because I'm like, have you never seen MVS play football before? I knew there was, as soon as he threw it, I'm like, there's no chance he's catching this. Because if you watch the replay of it, his hands are out this way, and the football hits it directly in this one hand, but the other hand, it comes up, and it's only like half of his hand. So, it, you know, in terms of hitting it perfectly into both hands, it only hits him perfectly in one hand and half the other hand. So, you know, like, again.
I can't watch that footage. I physically recoil seeing that MVS drop. I've seen it so many times.
Justin,
it's
Watts,
like when Willem Dafoe gets shot in the jungle at the end of Platoon. I just have to calm
down. The arms up.
Yeah. That's I get the similar emotion. And I'm not spoiling
Platoon. By the way,
I've never
seen Platoon, so thanks.
It came out in 1986. Yeah. It was 37 years ago.
It doesn't matter.
That's on you.
It's a classic.
That was on you.
It came out before I was born.
Is that your weekend plans?
That's what we were going to do for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving tradition.
We're all coming around
to watch Willem Dafoe get shot by the Vietnamese.
Yes.
One of the darkest war films.
Not anymore, now that I know what happens.
Yes.
Anyway, it was tough for me to watch. I watched the game last night. My wife and I, and our second oldest son, Matt, we were up late. We watched the game. Where'd you watch the game?
At home.
Right?
Yeah.
With your fiance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, she's like half in.
She was half in.
Yeah.
Does she sit on a couch and like scroll Instagram? Because that's what my wife
TikTok.
Does.
TikTok.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Jay, you don't need to answer how you watch this, because I know how you watch the game. We have footage of it. Roll this, Pete. This is footage of Jay's house last night for the game. By the way, your daughter is like on, like, she could kill herself. Like, what kind of parenting is going on here? Like, your daughter is like dancing in front of the TV.
There's children on furniture everywhere.
Yeah, there's children on furniture everywhere. Like, at some point.
Spider-Man has made an appearance.
Yes, Spider-Man's there to save the day, but from very far away, honestly, like, what is going on in this house? Like, where are the parents?
They've completely lost control.
This is the kind of footage you see on @CroucherJD's Instagram feed.
Didn't know we were running that. Very good.
Yes. There you go.
The good thing is there are three different children in positions to fall.
You're not a man of odds.
Where was your wife during all this?
I don't know. She's given up. Yeah. Three. It's too many.
Three kids, five and under. And that was a massive mistake.
It's unbelievable. And also not features of the audio where they're listening to Bones by Imagine Dragons. Yeah. Which is also
I don't know if we had the rights for that, but
that's why we had to mute it.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm going to put you in an unsafe environment, but I'm also going to let you listen to bad music.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Oh, anyway, grim. All right. Yeah, well.
Still much, much more fun to watch that than MVS and Justin Watson.
Any of these guys.
And Travis Kelce and everyone. Just drop balls left and right on
my my 1-year-old on the couch. She likes to play this game where she just like we have like this soft golf ball thing. She just throws it back and forth to me. And unfortunately, last night when she threw it to MVS, he dropped it. he dropped it on the couch in my living room. Look, that was just a complete disaster. It descended into farce at the end, where it's like this is not a reality that this keeps on happening. Justin Watson has the 2 critical drops. MVS, obviously. Travis Kelce was terrible. I was going to say that Justin Watson couldn't show his face in that locker room after the game, but he absolutely can, because he can show it to
everybody.
Travis Kelce
can look at each other.
MVS
yeah.
and everyone. And here's the thing that best sums it up for me. Steve Palazzolo had a fantastic tweet, and to basically paraphrase it, and I'll use it in my own words and at my own bit, but I thought Patrick Mahomes...
Did you see that? I missed that last one. Yeah, did you see that? Patrick Mahomes threw his headband at a fan.
They dropped it.
And they dropped it. Like, literally no one could... Like,
Yeah.
Good God.
I thought Mahomes, and Steve tweeted about this, I thought Mahomes played about as well as you can play football on that final drive. He was perfect in terms of his throws, and he was 4 of 9 for 25 yards. It's just completely insane.
Yeah, stats lie. Yeah. They absolutely lie. And it hurt Mahomes in the real game, in fantasy, and honestly in the MVP race, Jay, where Jalen Hurts is now the favorite for MVP because this is how these odds work.
So the reason Jalen Hurts is favorite for MVP right now is because MVS dropped a catch that everyone should make 99 out of 100 times, and the Cowboys couldn't convert from 1st and 5 on the 6, and Ron Rivera didn't go for 2 against the Eagles. These are the reasons why Jalen Hurts is MVP. Jalen Hurts isn't having a good season by his standards. 15 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's 11th in passer rating, 12th in PFF grade.
Lost to Zach Wilson.
Lost to Zach Wilson. Cost them that game by himself. He lost
literally
threw
away the game.
Did you see the Jets' Twitter? I'm sorry, I'm going off script here for a second, but did you see the Jets' Twitter? They used the Will Smith, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, empty room meme. I swear to God. It's the picture I'm talking about.
It's
very famous, right? So it's Will Smith in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air looking around a completely empty room. And the official Jets' Twitter tweeted out that photo saying, looking for anyone else that beat the Eagles. I swear to God. When you're starting Tim Boyle and you're talking, trash to other teams. It's like, wow, that is some ballsy social media team.
Oh, their account, it's risky. They'll take a risk every now and then.
I'm just Boyle.
I'll dumpster dive the replies on that one later.
That'll be fun.
With Jalen Hurts, quickly. He is the concern for me, and look, I don't think he's going to win MVP because his stats aren't very good, but he is 9-1. But the thing is, he just doesn't look right physically. He looks like a statue in the pocket. He has no quickness, no explosiveness. He's still got the knee brace on. And the concern is that he's coming off a bye. He's coming off the bye, and he looked worse physically than he did against Dallas the previous game.
Yeah, I mean, look, while he hasn't been that great NFL-wise, they're winning, and he is putting up fantasy points, so I don't think there's anything to worry about there. I also, bad day at the office for A.J. Brown. Yeah. L'Jarius Sneed is a true shutdown corner. Just people aren't realizing that. I'm not worried about A.J. Brown. But this was nice to see Devontae Smith. He was my DraftKings bet for last night, the over in the receiving yards. That cashed. He was on the love list as well. He comes in with I had a wide receiver 17 for the week. He finishes as wide receiver 18. So that's about as good a call as you can get. Last 6 games with Goddard out, 15.8 fantasy points per game, 29% target share, had a 38% target share last night. He continues to be a locked-in wide receiver, too, as long as Goddard is out. Nothing else to talk about on the Chiefs, just bad day at the office. But this is why we liked McKinnon. If the wide receivers can't catch, maybe McKinnon can, and maybe they just ride the running backs with Pacheco and McKinnon, and they're just dumping off to Jerick, because at least Jerick can catch the ball.
Back after this.
Hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code BERRY when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Time for our classic Tuesday segment when P-Bag is producing. Back to the futures.
P-Bag.
Jay, what's the long shot future this week?
All right, so the MVP race, we talked about it briefly with Jalen Hurts. It is such a weak year for MVP. The favorites right now are Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, who are both playing badly. They're not playing well. So I think that creates more variance and more chance for someone to come out of nowhere and win. So how about Myles Garrett at 150-1? They're 13-1 to get the one seed in the AFC. I think he's much more than a 10% chance to win MVP. If they get the one seed, 20 sacks, one seed, Garrett can win.
Matthew, what are you looking at?
I'm going back to the well with Kevin O'Connell. Again, I took him a number of weeks ago at 60-1, but he's back up to 90-1, I should say, plus 900. So, and what I would say here is that because of the loss to Denver, everyone's just like, whatever. But look at their upcoming schedule, right? So you see there, he's the fourth favorite, and their upcoming schedule is really, really nice. They still have a very good chance to make the playoffs here, and with the rest of the NFC sort of falling apart, right? I mean, you've got the Niners, you've got the Eagles, you've got the Cowboys, but after, and Detroit. So there's four teams, but the other three spots are kind of like up for grabs. Obviously, someone from the South is going to get in, but I feel really good about the Vikings getting into the playoffs. And if they get into the playoffs, I think O'Connell's got a very good chance.
I'll go back to the MVP race, and I like Lamar Jackson at plus 330 right now. Listen, he's got the Chargers on Sunday. That could be a shootout. Get the stats up. Rams, Jacksonville. If he beats the 49ers, though, that four weeks from now, I think Lamar Jackson will be the favorite.
I like it.
It's closing time, which means you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You got that tweet, Pete? No, you don't. What are you going to do? For P-Bag, Jay and Connor, I'm Matthew. Peace out. Jay, get a better babysitter.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.